South Africa seems to be applying new vigor in addressing inequitable land ownership. This after the Minister of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, Toko Didiza, announced that within the next 2 weeks, government will issue advertisement notices for 896 farms measuring 700,000 hectares of underutilized or vacant state land. This amount of land is roughly 10 times what has been distributed in the recent past. This, according to the Institute for Poverty, Land and Agrarian Studies at the University of the Western Cape Professor Ruth Hall.
The minister's announcement of 700,000 hectares initially came across, well, that's a lot. It is a lot compared to the annual distribution of land through our land reform program. This is a lot. So at its height, government was redistributing about 500,000 hectares per year, mostly white commercial farmland to black farmers. But that was in the last years of the Mbeki presidency. Since then, we've been doing less and less every year. And most recently, it's been below 100,000 a year in the last few years of the Zuma presidency and into the Ramaphosa presidency.
The move, according to President Cyril Ramaphosa, is vital to not only addressing historical injustices, but also in safeguarding against food insecurity. Bulelwa Mabasa, Director and Head of Land Reform, Restitution and Tenure Practice at Workmen's Attorneys, explains that this step can be traced back to July of 2019.
In 2019, July, the Advisory Presidential Land Reform produced a report to Cabinet and the President. And one of those recommendations that were made was that there is low-hanging fruit, there is land which sits within the ownership and control of the state, and that in the pursuit of redistributing land in an equitable manner, the state should be looking within its own control, within its own sphere of influence. It is to be welcomed. I think that before this, there hasn't really been an intentional, coordinated intent to look at state land holistically and to see for what uses and purposes that land can be made available for purposes of land reform.
But while experts agree that this is a positive step towards addressing inequality, lingering uncertainties remain, as Professor Hall points out.
And I think that there's a widespread presumption among the public that this is land that somehow was not available to black farmers and suddenly will be made available to black farmers. And that's certainly how it was presented. What we don't have is clear information about exactly what land this is, and where it is, and why it's suddenly available for release. So that's the big question.
It was not made clear by Minister Didiza's address as to where the state procured the land it plans to use. But Professor Hall shares her theory with us.
So one of the clues that we have when government says that this is vacant or underutilized state land is that we look at the provinces. So 7 out of the 9 provinces have land available for leasing under this program. But in fact, the vast majority of it is in Limpopo and the Northwest. So about 2/3 of it is just in those two provinces. And then there's a bit of land in the Eastern Cape, in Mpumalanga, tiny bit in KZN, and nothing in Gauteng or the Western Cape. And what this tells us very clearly is that it is linked with the former homelands. So it's not land in the former homelands, but in all of those provinces, there were large areas of white farmland that were acquired by the state from the 1970s onwards for homeland consolidation, but were never actually incorporated into the homelands. So there's a lot of state land that is already de facto part of the homelands, but not incorporated. This is parts of Bophuthatswana, Leboa. So that's my inclination. That's what I think this actually is. I think that very likely is that this is land that poor black communities already occupy and use in some way, but the idea is that government wants to lease this out to set up commercial farming, in which case the big question we need to watch out is are some people going to be moved off land in order for the land to be allocated to others? It's also possible that there is land that's entirely vacant. One of the reasons why I'm somewhat skeptical about this is that I think that 25 years into democracy, for government to suddenly find 700,000 hectares of vacant land, you know, it's not like that land has not been known about up to now. But I think that what is really possible is that if there is effort put into this, if there are democratic and transparent processes for deciding who gets the land, and if people are given support once they get long-term leases, that would be a significant benefit in terms of giving rural people opportunities to derive livelihoods off the land. And I think that that's a national priority.
Beyond current land occupation concerns, worries around transparency have also been brought forward. Both Mabatha and Professor Hall strongly call for the process of application and selection to be made public.
For me, it's not good enough that we have this policy that is run almost in the exclusive jurisdiction of the minister, when in fact it should be going through scrutiny, parliamentary scrutiny, where there should be transparency around who actually gets awarded this land, for what purpose, what monitoring mechanisms are going to happen. Is it going to be mainly focused on the commercial formal economic system? Are we looking for it to be almost a proper strategy? So all of that kind of necessary detail, in my view, which would be clear in a form of a legislation, is something that at the moment brings a little bit of uncertainty.
Lurking behind, on the one hand, many of the hopes, but also the worries associated with this move, is the question of what kind of farming model is actually going to be promoted and who will it benefit. And I think that here, what we've seen from experience is that on the one hand, a lot of talk of African, black, small-scale farmers suggests a very broad-based, poverty-focused initiative. But in fact, a lot of land reform has involved allocating large commercial farms to individual emerging black commercial farmers. In other words, replacing white commercial farmers with black commercial farmers, who might employ the same labor or have the same kinds of operations. So in fact, it may not bring about an economic change for society as a whole, but rather just a windfall of benefit for one individual. So I think that a key question here is, will this go to groups of people? Will women be prioritized? Will unemployed people, will young people, you know, is this really about changing power in society, or is it about window dressing, put bluntly? And I think that that's the question lurking for many people. And I think that it's a well-justified question, because we've seen through a lot of research, through a lot of investigative journalism, that elite capture is rife in land reform. And it's partly because processes of choosing who gets the land are so hidden from view. And so that's why I think that the question of what is the model that we're promoting, who are the people that we're prioritizing, those debates must be right out in the public realm. And I think that that's what we as the public should be asking of this process.
Addressing the media, the minister said that the application forms will be made available at the district offices and provincial offices of the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, as well as municipal district offices. She outlined that after the closing date, the District Beneficiary Screening Committee will then screen the applications, interview against the criteria set out in the advertisement notice, and make recommendations to the Provincial Technical Committee for consideration. The Provincial Technical Committee will evaluate and review the recommendations of the District Committee and submit to the National Department for approval. The National Selection and Approval Committee will then consider all recommendations and approve suitable applications. This long-winded process is expected to take approximately 3 weeks. This is an ongoing story. For Multimedia Live, I am Paige Muller.